Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
With kickoff rapidly approaching, now is the perfect time to start preparing for the fantasy football season. If you want to dominate your draft, check out the Roto-World Draft Guide for everything you'll need to get a leg up on the competition. It includes more than 500 player profiles, Evan Silva sleepers and busts, mock draft analysis for six different types of leagues, positional rankings from five of our experts, customizable projections, and much, much more. So head on over to rotoworld.com/draftguide. That's rotoworld.com/draftguide to take your first step towards fantasy football glory.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, JP Finley.
What up, folks? JP Finley. It's Redskins Talk Podcast. We are coming to you after yet again another disappointing Redskins preseason game. There's no way to sugarcoat it, really. I mean, the starting offense did not look good. I'm joined by Rich Tandler. Say what's up, Tandler.
What's up, Tandler?
Yeah, he's starting to get it. And local celebrity Mitch Tischler is here also.
What's up, Tandler?
Oh, look at that. These guys got jokes. We are in a non-disclosed office in the basement of FedEx Field. We just watched, I mean, some crappy football, fellas, right? Like, am I missing something?
No, you did not miss any well-played football, except in spots here and there, which we go over later, because I think after a game like this, you should cover the really what was wrong
right
before you look at what was right.
We saw some good football from the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is a magician.
Dude,
he's
Aaron
like a white
Rodgers
wizard.
Is
that
good.
That guy is really good.
He is really good. And I tweeted this, and some folks got mad at me. It's fun to watch that guy. I mean, you're really watching a master at his craft, you know, and you don't get to see that too often.
Well, I mean, especially in the preseason. Come on, lighten up, folks.
Yeah.
Enjoy some football.
I wouldn't have put that tweet in the playoff game 2 years ago.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But it's preseason, man. Enjoy it.
Right.
And he's in the preseason catching the Redskins with 12 guys. I mean, like,
that was lame.
That was lame. But I mean,
that's
it's also
what he does.
That's what he does.
It's just that whole bit to me is just kind of lame.
And challenging it.
Right. You know
no
what?
Challenges
you
in the
know
preseason.
What? Get off the field.
Tanner, you're right. I'm not disagreeing. All right. I'm going to read some numbers to you, and then you tell me if these are good numbers or bad numbers. 14 for 23 for 144 yards, one touchdown, a long completion of 43, and a QB rating of 93.4. Those numbers, of course, were Kirk Cousins' stat line from the game against the Packers. Tandler, take it away.
Deceiving.
Hold the mic, dude.
Okay.
And say more than deceiving.
Yes. because he really kind of fluffed his stats up against the Packers, second, and even according to the depth charts, we had third string defenders. So he was not as good as he looked. When it was ones against ones, he was not comfortable. He was not throwing the ball well at all. Failed in a red zone opportunity. He did not play as well as those numbers.
I agree with you. And it was noticeable, the difference, once the Packers' second unit was out there. You know, I mean, you could clearly tell the Skins were moving the ball significantly better. I made this argument last year, and Taylor, this may surprise you. You and I kind of argued about this. I think looking at Cousins' yardage total from the 2016 season, which is a stat that most Cousins supporters often go to, is a little deceiving. I think there were games where there were a lot of yards that were relatively hollow. And the one I point to most is that Panthers game. He threw for more than 300 yards on that Monday night game. The offense was wholly ineffective, and they never really were in the game. So the yards don't mean a heck of a lot. If you look at tonight, I mean, he's on pace for 290 tonight. And they weren't in the game. You know what I mean? Tish, you're down on the field. Tell us what you're seeing.
Rob Kelly talked a little bit about it in the locker room, how they were expecting to play about a quarter. And you saw it when it was ones versus ones, there were a lot of three-step drops, a lot of quick hitters. And when Jay brought them back out for the second quarter and when the second unit came in, you saw them open up a little bit. You saw Kirk taking five-step drops. You saw him hit Chris Thompson on the wheel route. You saw him, you know, hit Vernon on that deep ball. He missed Jameson Crowder on the crossing pattern. But when they opened it up a little bit, I mean, Kirk has a nice deep ball. And he had a couple nice passes today. I mean, you're not
going to... A couple pretty balls, certainly. The one he dropped into Chris Thompson was a nice pass. And that was still against the ones, I think. That might have been the first down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he didn't look great, but at the same time, you got to be a little happy that they moved the ball and they have something to build on with that touchdown at the end.
Agreed. And I think there's two important distinctions, right? Kirk did not play well tonight, yet it's also not time to worry about Kirk. I mean, it's still the preseason. They're working on a lot. And you got to remember, I mean, when it was ones against ones, they're still keeping the offense pretty vanilla. They're not running a lot of stuff. It's all fairly basic. And that will only get ramped up. It's not time to be freaked out yet, but they needed a good performance, and they did not deliver it. And the one thing that really sticks with me, and Taylor, you and I talked about this on TV, this team, to me, in the 2017 offseason, what they did from February till August was they tried to attack their problems in the red zone, and they tried to attack defensively their problems on third downs, getting off the field. Tonight, they had a golden opportunity in the red zone. They got the ball on, what, the 18?
After a play by Fabian
Moreau. Nice play by the kid, Moreau. I mean, he had too many tackles on special teams. Certainly the speed is there with him. You can see it. Now, the fumble, the first quarter fumble, the Packers guy kind of muffed it. Now, did he hear footsteps? Was Moreau there on top of him quick? Sure, but the guy muffed it.
He did, but he also was there. And
didn't Niles pick it up?
And kept the guy,
kept the guy from recovering.
Dude, I just realized this. I had Niles on postgame and didn't even ask him about the fumble recovery. Because we talked about the touchdown, which is...
Man, when he was talking about us in the locker room, he was talking about importing the special teams.
Oh, sure. I asked him about that stuff. But we were also talking about breakdancing and stuff. I don't know what we were talking about.
It's TV.
It's television. It's not a podcast. Right. You can't dive in. But, so, the first unit gets the ball on the 18, an immediate three and out. I don't even know if they gained positive yardage.
They had three completions.
I mean... Am I
right, though, that Doxson wasn't out there with the ones to start the game?
No, Doxson didn't come in until
the second quarter.
Until 6 minutes in the second quarter.
And you immediately...
Why the hell wasn't he out there for the red zone?
Pryor came out, and he came in.
Yeah, he was Doxson was Pryor's backup tonight.
Yeah.
And couldn't you immediately see Kirk going to him? That confidence or the connection that they have? I felt like immediately... And yes, it's second team and all that, but... They were in sync on the quick outs.
I am claiming something real quick because when I was on the Junkies, I think, or maybe it was when I was on the radio with somebody and they tried to credit you. And this was my thing that you poo-pooed when I first brought it up, Taylor. I'm literally pointing my finger at Rich Taylor as I'm saying this. Cousins is more in sync with Doxson than he is with Pryor. And I said that in Richmond.
When did I poo-poo that?
In Richmond. You poo-poo everything I say.
To be fair, it does sound like something that you poo-poo.
It's kind of reflexive, yes. But I
you do a lot of poo-poo.
I have been impressed with Doxson from day one.
Incorrect.
Go back and read what I've written.
Fine, but you were more impressed with Pryor. And when I was the one saying, Doxson's having the more impressive camp, people were like, whoa, dude, whoa, that happened.
People was not
you.
Me.
People were you.
People were you.
Yes.
People were definitely you.
People were definitely you, Taylor. Real quick, I just remembered something. I met an awesome fan walking down the tunnel tonight. Eddie Rice was his name. He listens to the podcast. We appreciate you, Eddie. All right. Terrell Pryor, did he get a catch? I don't even have the stat line.
He did.
He had one, right?
One catch. One, drop harsh.
One pass
off his hands, and then one.
That's
one
not pitch. A drop.
In post game, when we were talking to him, and like any good receiver is going to say,
right.
A ball that hits his hands, he feels like it's a ball he's got to catch. So he called it a drop. But he also said that, you know, we think about it as his first catch as a Redskin, and, you know, not milestone, but just, you know, a nice little moment. And he was like, I didn't even think about it that way. He's like, I've been catching balls from Kirk all training camp, and to me, this was just another game, and, you know, it's a practice, which it is. But he wanted them to,
they dress him up in nice uniforms, turn the lights on, charge the fans a lot of money, we all come down and cover it, but it's a practice.
But to a man, Terrell Pryor and Phil Taylor both said that running out at FedEx Field with the home fans, they said it was pretty cool. They liked the environment. They heard the fans. They were loud. They were cheering for them. So they were, you know, those guys were four first-time Redskin players who have both played here on other teams. They were pretty into it with the fans.
Well, and let's talk about, so Mitch, I don't know, obviously you saw it live, and so our listeners know, Mitch is down on the field the whole game shooting with a video camera.
In a bright green vest.
Whereas Taylor and I get pushed up to the press box, so we have very different vantage points. Taylor and I get to watch replays on the televisions, we have our computers going, we see Twitter, we see all this stuff as it's happening. Meanwhile, Mitch is tweeting out weather updates. Anyway, the Kirk Cousins at the goal line when he didn't go to Josh Doctson, when he looked off what had to be his primary read, Doctson and Ryan Grant, for all of his faults, ran one hell of a rub route to get Doctson, to me, what looked like open. Kirk looks it off, goes to Chris Thompson on the other side on a pure check down. Taylor, we've had some time to digest that play. To me, that ball's got to come out. You got to fire that. You had a window. Yeah, it was tight, but it's a bang bang play in the NFL at the goal line, and you got to make those. What say you, RT?
Well, I agree. I kind of read that as Kirk maybe, you know, still not being quite there with Josh Doctson.
I don't know that Kirk's there with tight windows. I don't know that it's a Doctson thing.
The play, I believe, the play directly before that was a fade or back shoulder fade to Ryan Grant in between two receivers,
in between two corners,
which
that was a terrible ball.
Two corners, yes, that was a bad ball. So did he get
bad
a little
ball,
gun? Did he get
bad
a
decision?
Right,
bad decision. But did he get immediately a little gun shy, scared to throw a pick at the goal line, take three at least to get out of there? They ended up scoring, but
kind of seen this movie before. They ended up scoring because they went for it on fourth down, which they wouldn't have done.
That's what
we're right. If it's week two, they're kicking, they're getting the points.
They are.
And if you don't, again, I repeat, this isn't a very Kirk night. He made a couple nice throws. He's a good quarterback. There's a lot of football left. But he hasn't looked sharp. The run game has not looked sharp. The offensive line has not looked sharp. I don't know that of the players, of the starting offense, and really of the players that look like they're going to significantly matter this season, I don't know that you can really point to an offensive bright spot unless you want to say Samaje Perine. And I think
Chris Thompson.
Dude, should Thompson be getting more carries? All he does is get yards.
I've been saying that but you gotta be careful with him.
I think the number should be eight. He should be getting eight touches a game. Whatever that makes, and then some games when it's high.
Not yet seven.
Right.
In a half.
Well, that's a lot, man.
But the run game also was as bad as it was.
And they ran their 2-minute show.
Right.
That's my other thing. Cousins looks good in the 2-minute when they're moving. Run it more often, man. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I've been saying they should go up tempo.
How come everything I say, you're like, yeah, I've been saying that, dude? Everything I say, you're like, oh, I've been saying that, dude.
I'll say that we were talking about the run game.
I'm not. I'm done with this podcast.
Oh, I think I got Taylor on tilt.
You got Taylor a little on tilt.
It doesn't help that it's midnight and we're in a basement office at FedEx Field.
Yeah. We're talking about the run game struggling, and after that fourth down non-conversion on the run up the middle with Kelly,
yep.
I was over with the offensive line. I was actually shooting Trent Williams, and he literally sits down, kind of slumps back, throws some water on his face, puts a towel, shaking his head. I mean, those guys were frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, and they felt the failure, if you will, you know, with that run game. And Rob Kelly too, after the game, was talking about it. I mean, they got to be better. He was actually talking about how happy he was for Perine that he was able to move those yards, but they recognize the struggles the run game has right now. Know they have a lot to do.
All right,
but you know, Trent, real quick, Trent, I decided to jump back into the podcast.
Thank God.
You know, Trent said that.
What would we ever do without him?
You don't break a rock with one swing. You know, and it's just the run game is a matter of pounding it and pounding it and pounding. He said sometimes it might come in the first half, and you know, then you get, you know, all of a sudden you got to start to get one, then you might lose one, then get two, then get eight. You know, and that's how it comes. So it's. You know, I think he found some encouragement there in that, you know, but I don't know if it was encouragement there, but he wasn't that worried about it at this point.
All right, Taylor, give us some good news. Talk about the defense.
The defense played well, other than that first drive should have been killed.
Stacy McGee, dude.
Yeah, Stacy McGee. He makes two bad penalties on the Redskins' 3-8 pickup.
Sorry, I'm sneezing.
And his counterpart, Teron McClain, has been kind of invisible.
How much cash they have sunk into those two dudes?
They're going to end up...
McClain ends up only being 12 mil. It's like 2 years, 12 mil.
Right. That's 6 mil a year. That's substantial.
After the penalty, and not that it makes up for it in any way, shape, or form, but after the penalty, you had McClain and McGee back-to-back make stops in the run.
I didn't notice that.
So, you know...
Okay, well, yeah. And then they But the bottom line was it opened the door for them to get down the field.
Yeah.
And get a touchdown when the drive should have been dead. Of course, now who knows? Maybe if it's dead, maybe Aaron Rodgers comes back in for another series and drives down the field anyway. I think if Aaron Rodgers could have stayed in the game, the Packers could have hung up 50 points if they wanted to.
50?
Maybe a slight exaggeration. if they felt that they wanted to or needed to, they could have scored a lot of points.
Yeah, they could have kept it going. I think, it's too early to be saying that dumb penalties are killing them, but dumb penalties are killing them. I mean, they had two procedural. Didn't they have a false start when they had the ones in there that made a... Now, granted, 3rd and 7 kind of sucks, but then it's a 3rd and 12.
The false start was the play after Morgan Moses got hurt. Ty Insecki comes in and has a false start.
Right. What happened to Morgan there?
I think he got banged in the head a little bit. He looked like he was like he got a hand in the face or something like that. But I mean, not that it's acceptable. But I mean, that's a pretty extenuating circumstance if you're talking about procedural.
Fair. Injury front, nothing major. Although I saw Mac Brown hobbling out of the X-ray room. Gruden said just normal bumps and bruises, but that looked like a pretty big bruise the way he was hobbling.
Well, you know, a lot of times after these games, he's not completely informed on the injury front. What's going on.
To be fair, I'm hobbling pretty good right now, so...
You're just a liar, dude.
I'm tired. My back hurts.
Can I... since we're going off topic, Tandler got some new shoes, and I kind of like them. Did you get those shoes because we were making fun of your old shoes the other day?
It's the same shoes as my shoes, but mine are just super old.
No, these are different. I like Tandler's shoes.
Nice.
So maybe, Taylor, will you tweet out a picture of your new shoes to the folks?
No. Hold on.
Why?
Hold on. Yes. What about JP's shoes?
Not that exciting.
JP has some nice... JP likes to wear golf shoes a lot, and he's kind of starting to step up his shoe game. So those are pretty nice also.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm just saying that.
I like Taylor's. I need some new sneakers that aren't golf shoes. I need to stop wearing golf shoes everywhere I go. All the Redskins media staff makes fun of me. Now the front office, Alex Santos, makes fun of my shoes now. So it's time for me to continue my maturation.
The next time I notice, I'll make fun of them too.
I'm sure you will.
Or embrace it and let that be your calling card, man.
So something funny for the listeners that know King of the Mutt, Pete Haley. So Pete has a front row press box seat now.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a permanent.
You think it's a preseason thing?
Yes.
Well, we kept trying to make him move because we thought it was kind of funny. And we were telling him, George Wallace sits right behind us, George Wallace from WTOP. And so we were telling Pete he had to go sit next to Wallace. And Wallace was like, I don't want him. That was there was some hijinks in the press box tonight. That's what you get in preseason. There's some funny stuff between Chris Russell talking about Jim Haslett and all sorts of other things.
Great.
Oh, Mitchell.
Oh, great.
All right. Let's wrap this.
Oh, we were busting it when Sudfeld came in.
It was Suddy time, baby.
Suddy time.
I'll tell you what.
Hey, look, fellas. John Candy right in the stands there.
The famous Joe Montana story. All right, I put up a Twitter poll when Sudfeld was taking the ball late in the game to see if folks thought Sudfeld could get it done. So let's see what the results of that were. All right, so nearly 300 votes in, I don't know, less than an hour probably. So the options were, so I said, will Nate Sudfeld lead a fourth quarter game-winning drive? Yes, no, and no polls in preseason were the options. Yes got 27% of the votes. No polls in preseason got 32% of the votes. And no got 41% of the votes. So the fans were not exactly thinking that Sunny time was going to be winning time.
I probably would have gone that way too.
All right. We're about to wrap because I'm worried Taylor might fall asleep. So I'm going to start with Mitch. One thought from tonight, and we've just remember that we've hammered how bad the offense has been. So one thought, Mitch.
Phil Taylor, man.
You can take the mic, Mitch.
Okay, I'll take the mic. Phil Taylor looked real good, borderline dominant, and nose tackle. All right, maybe that's a little exaggerated.
Yeah, take it easy. So that everybody knows, Taylor and I both just kind of roll our eyes at Mitch.
Which happens relatively frequently. To me, he was a standout on defense. How about that? I thought he was the best player on defense. He had a sack. A couple nice...
Let's plug our show. So I had Phil Taylor on our postgame show, which hopefully all of you are watching. And I asked him about it. I asked him about his performance, and he's encouraged. He's getting there, man. And you got to think, he's still working back into shape.
Yeah. I mean, he looked good out there, and he was happy to be on the field and back out of FedEx again. So it was a good outing for him.
Well, and it's such a cool story. He grew up like 15 minutes from here. And I just heard in the locker room, I believe his dad used to be like a event staff employee here at FedEx Field for Redskins games. I don't know if that's volunteer or what this, but like, I mean, it's just, I asked him about what does it mean playing for the burgundy and gold, and he just said it's surreal. I mean, this is a real homecoming cool story. Mitch says one more, but Taylor's grabbing for the mic. It's a real wrestling match.
I will not lose a wrestling match at Tampa.
Oh!
Just with the local guys, I mean, there could be four starting defensive players from the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. So
who? Phil, Zach Brown, Kendall Fuller. He's the third
four
one.
Line. Yeah, four line, but
who am I forgetting? John Allen.
John Allen.
Oh, wow,
John
that's
Allen.
One.
So
yeah.
It's pretty cool to have all these local guys who lots of, at least, I don't know if all of them did, but a bunch of them grew up Redskins fans.
Yep.
It's a neat little story.
Yeah.
All right, Taylor, you can have the mic now.
Thank you.
Just kidding.
He's been grabbing. Give him the damn mic. He's been grabbing at it for like 5 minutes.
Dude, you get the mic.
You got to be ready to go.
My takeaway is Fabian Moreau.
Damn, dude, you stole my mic.
Oh, see, there you go again. Hammer stole my stuff. Made a couple of good plays. First two punts of the game. He helped. I don't know if you could say he forced the fumble because the guy muffed it, but he helped. Created the turnover by keeping the guy who fumbled away from him. And then the next time, he just nailed him, stopped him dead in his tracks. Yep. Played the first NFL game. So he was out last week recovering from that injury. Played, had pretty solid coverage. You know, he was tight. And so good, very good start for him.
All right, I'm with you, Taylor. And I was going to talk about Moreau and Monte Nicholson, so I'll talk about Monte Nicholson. Jay Gruden mentioned both of those guys in his postgame comments, and his postgame comments weren't particularly upbeat, I would say. And I think Moreau is showing the speed, and that's his biggest weapon, and he's kind of showing that right away. With Nicholson, you knew the speed was there. There were some questions about what else is there, but he's starting to look pretty good. The only thing I would add is speed overall in this Redskins defense has improved. And when you watch Mason Foster and Zach Brown out there, it's a
John Allen.
And John Allen with them.
Yeah.
That front seven looks a lot different than it did, and it's faster. And you can see it. Mace is playing good football. Zach Brown gives them sideline to sideline speed. Maybe Keenan Robinson was pretty quick sideline to sideline, but Zach blows him away. I mean, they haven't had speed like that at the linebacker position I mean, in a long, long time. And I think that will really help them throughout the season. All right, we're going to call this one quits so we can go home. This has been fun. We will be back with you guys probably Mondays, maybe Tuesday, actually. We'll have to see what happens, figure out kind of the schedules. I think the Redskins are not going to have a media practice until Wednesday. So we're not in Ashburn until Wednesday. Maybe I can finally play some golf. We'll see what happens. Taylor, say goodbye.
It's been almost 24 hours.
I know, dude. My game might be falling apart. I did come in sixth place in a golf tournament, though. I want all the listeners to know that. Oh, I'm getting polite golf claps from the crowd. Folks, thank you for listening. Things are going to get better. It can't be this bad. That much I'm confident in. So don't fret too much. Don't be losing sleep in August. You got plenty of sleep to lose come October.
As the Beatles said, it can't get much worse.
Oh, Taylor got a Beatles reference in. Point Taylor. All right, folks, if you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.